I'm thinking tonight about loving the Lord. I believe that to the level that you love the Lord is probably the level of your victory. I think there's a relationship between the two. And probably, if I was to ask you tonight if you love the Lord, you would probably say yes to that. Or most everybody would, I think. But there's levels of love. But love's dynamic. So what is, as we think of that question tonight, do I love the Lord? What does it do to your life that your life wouldn't have done to it if you didn't? Ask yourself the question, what does it do in my life? It must do something. If I love the Lord, it's going to cause me to do something that I would not otherwise do. It's not passive. It's not lazy. It's definitely not indifferent. To love the Lord doesn't just allow things just to happen, but it pursues after them. It's not just left to its own, but it's got a direction to it. I'm not at all ashamed of introducing my wife to anyone I meet. A lot of times when I meet someone, if I know that she's close, I'll look for her. Because I'm not only glad, I'm not only willing, but I'm glad to introduce her to somebody and say, "This is my wife." I'm glad for that. I want to do it. So that causes, there's something there that causes me to want to introduce the people that is around me to my wife. I'm glad for that. I want you to know, this is my wife. Loving the Lord some like that too, I think. If I really love the Lord, wouldn't I want to say to those that I meet, "Hey, I want to introduce you to somebody. I want you to know him too. Because I love him. I love the Lord." It becomes, if in the proper place, it becomes what I'm about. It's what He's that important. I remember one time a young boy, he's not young now, but he was at the time. He told his daddy, "I love pizza." Well, his daddy said, "Well, I think that language is a little strong, son, for pizza." "No, daddy, it's not. I love pizza." Well, I've hung on to that over the years. Because I think some people love the Lord like they love pizza. Yeah. Now, I like pizza, but I wouldn't suffer for pizza. Yeah. If I was eating too much pizza one night and it gives me heartburn and I don't sleep all night, the next night it's out. Yeah. My desire and like for pizza will only go to a certain point, then pizza's through. My love for pizza's done. Some people love the Lord like that, like they love pizza. But you know, that's not the way we love the Lord. I love the Lord beyond the way I would love pizza or anything else. The idea of really loving brings in the idea, how much? On the surface, no. I love the Lord enough to go ahead and suffer through the night for Him and still be suffering in the morning. And guess what? I love the Lord enough to go through the next night too. Because I love the Lord that much. And where do I find my end for that? So far I've not found my end for that. I've been challenged with it. The Lord's always helped me. I want to tell you tonight, I've lived for the Lord for some years now, and He's never let me down. He's left me there to get to places before, but the Lord's never let me down. I'm thankful tonight for the Lord, for the one that loved me We love Him because He first loved us. When I think of that one that loved me enough, not He didn't love me like people love pizza. It wasn't just that if it's okay or indifferent or a little lethargic about it or passive about it. Jesus wasn't passive about His love to us. He pursued it. He pursued it with what He was about, that He could get to there till He could win you and I. If He had been passive, He would have just proclaimed, I love you and you're going to have to believe it. But He was proactive about it. It was dynamic and He put Himself in the place to be able to show us how much He loved us. How much did He love us? It is forever settled. It is the high mark. It is for us to look to how much we can be loved is that He died for us. The most horrible and gruesome of death, but it was beyond just the death. He took on Himself the sins of us all. The horror of sin, the nastiness, the filthiness, the dirtiness, the guilt, the sorrow of it, He put it on Himself. He was smitten. He was stricken. He was the offscouring. He allowed that to be put on Himself. And that gives us something to look at of how much He loved us. And then the desire is, now do I love You, Lord? What then is my place in this to love the Lord back? I want us to be challenged tonight because I think there is directly relative. I think there's something relative to the amount of victory we have and how much love for the Lord that we have. I don't just want to love the Lord like pizza or ice cream. I don't want to just love the Lord in that kind of way, but a real love to God. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is where David's mighty men. I love that passage of the men that they fought. They were courageous. And David looked down one time in my mind. He looked down at Bethlehem. And he said, I long to have a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. And there was a couple of these mighty men, two or three, whatever it was. There was a garrison of the Philistines in Bethlehem. But these mighty men, David didn't command. Folks, I want us to realize something. The Scriptures, many people look at it and it's true. The Lord said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. True, but how should we look at the commandments of the Lord? As, oh Lord, more commandments. You know what that is really all about? To someone that loves the Lord, here is what He wants of us. It isn't burdensome. The things of God isn't something that we have to say, oh no, to. It's something we ought to say, thank the Lord for. If it wasn't for the Word, I wouldn't know. I may love the Lord, but I wouldn't know how. I wouldn't know what to do for Him. And this is the way we ought to look at the Scripture. Lord, what else can I do for You? How can I live for You? I want to have the heart, but this is the knowledge to know how. There was a sister up in our congregation said that she told us one time, she said that her husband bought her, I think it was for Valentine's Day, he bought her some truffles for Valentine's. And she said, I hated truffles. But he bought her a gift. And she made like she liked him because it was done in love. So she wanted to make it like she done it. Well, guess what she got the next year? And the next year. And for several years until she finally said, honey, I don't like truffles. The Lord didn't tell us these things because from a pure heart we want to know. Folks, this is the victory of our lives, to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to desire, to want to please the Lord. And then now when we find out, if I find out my wife don't like something, I want to get her what she likes. And that's what it is with the Lord and these mighty men. The Lord did not, or David didn't command him and say, you three, go get me a drink down there. He simply said, I have a desire for a drink. And these mighty men, because they love their king, they were devoted to their king. Love isn't passive. It isn't indifferent. Had they seen the my king, the one I love, the one my soul's connected to, he wants a drink. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. Now I'm going to give my life if need be. I'm going to give the very strength. I'm going to go and I'm going to give my all to get him a drink. Because I want to give him something special. I want to give him who I am. Folks, tonight, if you love the Lord, be challenged by this. How much do you love the Lord? And be challenged to love him more. And be challenged to make your life loving the Lord. Instead of saying, oh no, I've got to dress this way. Oh no, I've got to put this off. Oh no, it's different. My Lord wants me to do this. Jesus, I'm going to do something for you. Amen. These men went down there and got a drink. I would have loved to have seen them do it. I don't know, because in my mind, with the garrison of the Philistines down there, I don't know if they was just using stealth and snuck in and got it. But my mind was, they looked at one another and said, get your swords. I've got the water bag. You guys keep them off my back. I'll draw it up. These were men that was able, capable, courageous, and had a cause and a passion to do it. Our hearts is where our victory's at. Lord, help us to put Jesus on the throne tonight. Number one, and we'll see the victories around it. Now I can say what I do, why I do it, and anyone that would ask me, I've got a pat answer for them. Why do you do what you do? I do it for my King. I do it for Jesus. That's why I do it. Why do I go to the lengths I do? Why do I put off certain things? I do it because I love the Lord. And he's shown himself to me to be special. Amen. These men went and got the Lord that drink and brought it back to him. And when David, their Lord, their king, when David realized what they had done, he knew what it meant, and he wouldn't drink it. And I know why he didn't drink it. Because he was a failure of a man. He was a man. And he knew that that kind of devotion didn't belong to him. It belonged to one greater than him. So he took that cool water from the bottom of that well that he longed for, and he poured it out on the ground and let the ground soak it up. But he done it in the name of the... He gave it to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that a man would die for me. There's only one worthy to have that kind of devotion. And he gave their devotion. He gave their sacrifice. He gave it to the Lord. He presented these men back to the Lord with a drink offering and poured it to them. That kind of love and devotions to God makes a difference. It makes a difference. It makes it all make sense to why we're doing it. The strugglings that we have in life, many of them is right here on this line. If we only had the passion, the desire, and when we think of the work of the Lord, why does it come up short? Why is it not being done maybe like it should? Why is there this lot? Why? Because there's a lack of that pursuing after, that desire to go get that drink for the Lord. The Lord desired that His people would have His passion for souls. For the people that was around them, that we would want to introduce. I've been married. I got married. I've got one I want to present to you. I want you to know. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to know why I do what I do. I've got a love in my heart for something. shifting gears just a little, but I'd like to go to 1 Timothy. Oh, see, the fourth chapter. It says in the 12th verse, the Apostle Paul instructing Timothy, the younger man here, minister, he says, let no man despise thy youth. What he was saying to Timothy was, you're a young man. And it's easy for people to look at the youth that you have and not respect you because of your youth. Because everyone knows that youth has a little bit of foolishness connected to it. It has a little bit of lack of understanding. It has in it the characteristics, I guess, of most youth that would look at and say he's not capable or he's not able. But Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, don't let him despise your youth. In other words, don't give him any right reasons for it. Timothy, show yourself as an example. See, show yourself as an example. Tonight I want us to think about this just a little bit. But be thou an example of the believers. Be an example of a believer. Show the world, Timothy. Show the world. How are you going to be able to go through that and keep going? Love the Lord with all your heart and show the world what it means to be a believer. It ain't indifferent, folks. It's active. It's passionate. It needs some passion. It needs some fire to it. Love's fire. Love something that has an emotion that goes with it. But folks, listen, it's not emotion. It's not all emotion. Emotions are flippant. It's more than that. It's something deeper than that. I don't have to be up in emotions to love my wife. I love my wife steadily. I'm willing to die for her. I give everything for her. See what I mean? It's not just the emotional side of it. Something deeper than that. In scriptural language, love means that you give yourself to it. Give everything for it. To hate it means that you reject it. It means that you don't put everything to it. If you was to say that I not give attention to it, the Lord would say you despise it. You say, well, I don't despise the Lord. If you're not giving attention to it, you do. If you love it, you give attention to it. If you're not giving attention to it, the Lord would say you don't love it. No matter how you feel about it, how valuable is it? That's where love's at. How valuable is it? He says, Timothy, be an example of a believer. What a challenge. What a challenge. Be an example of a believer. Be an example as Christ was. Christ was our example. See, Jesus didn't just come and say the words. Jesus laid the pattern. There's an example in Christ. Now we can follow that example as a believer. Show the world what it really means. You're not going to be able to say to somebody in a natural sense, here's Jesus. Let me introduce you to this man here. You're not going to have that opportunity in that way. But you're going to have an opportunity to be an example when they see you is when they meet Christ. The believer. The one that gives his life. The one that cares. The one that's passionate. Yes, the one that would die for the cause. The one that was willing to go get a drink for his Lord. The one that says, this is bigger than I am. I am glad tonight that there's a cause bigger than me. I'm glad there's something that will hold up if I don't hold up. I'm glad there's something that won't wear out when I wear out. I'm glad that there's something there that's more powerful than anything else. I'm glad that there's a salvation and a delivering salvation for people no matter what we think about it. It's something to give ourselves to. Timothy, don't let them despise your youth.
but get the goods. Love the Lord with all your heart. And put the gainsayers to silence. In word. That means in what you say. To represent the Lord in what you say. The words that you choose. Representing the Lord. This is a challenge to me. To use our language. Our words. The ability to communicate is a special thing. We have the ability through words to communicate. We have the ability to bless or curse. We have the ability to lift up or cast down. We have the ability to make somebody's day better by your words or make it worse. And by our words, may we be a believer. By what we have coming out of us, that the scripture says that salt water and fresh water don't come from the same fountain. Bitter water and sweet don't come from the same fountain. But from that fountain, may our fountain of words represent Christ. And I say this, if you love the Lord tonight, you want to. See, if we have that love in our hearts, then when this comes along, it's not like it's a hard commandment, but it's a way to say, now I understand, Lord, help me to be that. I want to be that. The Lord's words. There was times the Lord spoke a strong words. But I think He always was loving. I think that those words were always directed towards the betterment of the people that was around them. Words. Be an example of a believer in your words. That is one of the biggest challenges, folks. Do you know by nature, just talk. And now you got a lot more abilities across these. And back in my day, we was on I think originally it was like an 8-party telephone line. And if you wanted to use a phone, a lot of times there was somebody on it and you couldn't. And you know, that's what, we've come a long ways in all that. But the Lord wants us to have a desire in our heart to use words for the kingdom of God, suggesting into the hearts of the people around us the right way. The blessed way. There's times to say, yes, that's wrong, but most of the time, there's a way to say, this is better. It's better than what you got. I got something here for you. I remember Brother John Varghese talking about over there in India, these men they were real good at picking these fruit, because he said the fruit would cluster out whatever kind of fruit it was, and wasps like to make their nest in the clusters of this fruit. And Brother John was saying that there was men that could reach up in among the clusters with the wasp nest there and gently snap the fruit loose from it and pick it down and leave the wasps on their nest undisturbed. And they could go and pick the fruit from that. We live in a wasp-filled world of bad spirits and bad things, and Christianity's hated across the land more and more all the time. But Lord, help us. By the love of God that we can pick right in the middle of it without disturbing all those things through activity. But by the love of God, pick the fruit from it. Pick the fruit from it. Because we love the Lord. Why would I reach my hand up into that mess? Because the Lord's got something special up there in it that He wants picked. Said by our words. Okay. In conversation. I guess this might get close. And Lord bless us in it. But folks, there's a volume spoken by life. But our lives speak volumes. As we go through life, we speak with our emotions. We speak in our relationships as people watch us go. We speak to them.
They may not be able to articulate it, but it speaks to them. I've had people come to me when I never said a word. I had a man up home that was quite upset with me for a while, and I was trying to win him back to friendship and all. And finally one day, my family's over, we were painting my house. And we was a painting. I remember the girls was out there a painting. Was all out there doing different jobs on a pretty day. And this man finally broke. He finally broke. I've been trying to win him. Finally he comes around and a little bit he comes over there and he says, something about you need a ladder. I got a ladder. He said, I'm a ladder. And I said, I think we're all right. And he was trying to get me, said, I got a roller with an extension handle. He's trying to do all this to me and a little bit talking. I said, well, didn't need this or didn't need that. And finally he said, I've been watching your family. He said, that's the way a family ought to be. I could see the starting of the tears. That's the way a family ought to be. Didn't say much more about it. Just that's the way a family ought to be. Something was being spoken to this man. I found out later that his family was, he had a son and he was off and the whole thing was broken up and there was something inside him and he looked and he saw a conversation. Yeah. Folks, never forget this, that you're an example of conversation. And if we love the Lord, folks, we'll want to be that. I was going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama one time with the gospel truck. Y'all remember the gospel truck that had the big Church of God evangelism, I think, was on it. And in the middle, it had Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And I'm going down the road. That's painted on both sides of the truck. And I'm going down the road, and I really never even thought about it to start with. But just now somebody comes going by me, and they blow the horn. And I thought, what? Does that mean my driving's good? Or, you know, what? Going a little bit later, somebody comes by and honk, honk, honk. And they was giving me the, yeah, all right. And then all of a sudden I realized, I'm a billboard. I got a billboard. I'm going down the road. Folks, you're a billboard anyway. You don't have to have that road on there. There's a billboard saying something about your life as you live in it. And we ought to want it to the fullest. Folks, the devil comes along and says to us, especially if we ain't burning in love with the Lord, he comes along and says to it, you better watch out the way you act and somebody's going to notice you. And then you should say, in what way will they notice? Will they notice somebody that cares about decency? Will they look and see somebody that cares about modesty? Will they see somebody that cares about... I couldn't get away from it. I laughed and chuckled. I thought, I can't hide it now. I'm a billboard going down the road. I'm telling them everybody who I am. You know, there were some people that come by and honked the horn and they wasn't doing this signal. There was people doing all kinds of stuff. I went down through there and a lot of people responded to me. Some good, some bad. And I laughed about every time or chuckled and thought, I'm a billboard. I mean, I can't get away from it. I'm telling them who I am going down the road. That's what the Lord wants of us. You know, if we love the Lord, I say this to us, to be challenged. Love God. Fall in love with the Lord. It will make your experience. Because we are challenged, aren't we? My wife could testify this in our journeys at home and abroad. We have been out many times and people come up to us before a word is spoken and say to us, where do you go to church at? And my first thought is almost always, I didn't say I went to church. I never said that. But I didn't have to. But you know, it's because the way we, guess what? The way we dress. And I've always wondered in my mind, why wouldn't you want to say with your dress, I'm a believer. I've never understood those that said, that went away from the obvious witness that I'm a believer. That I love the Lord. That this is the best way to live life. I don't understand why we would want to diminish the light that God gives us to be able to witness, to testify. But I'm going to tell you, it's got its challenges. Wife and I was in Walmart one day and I was walking in front of her and she clips me with the buggy in the heels. If you've ever been clipped, it don't feel good. She got me in the heels And when she did, I'm going to confess to you. When she did, I turned around and went, Linda. And there's people looking over here. And I thought, oh no, you better watch out. You look holy. Probably wouldn't have mattered if I didn't look the way we look. But it matters a lot looking the way we look. Doesn't it? But it's our conversation. And the challenge to Timothy. Timothy, be an example of a believer. That they look and say they're in love. They got something holding them together. They got something holding the family together. It isn't that they're in challenges. There's a mighty force that keeps them there. There's something. Is he wonderful? Isn't he great? Doesn't he help us inside? Doesn't it make a difference if we love him? Is there power there? Sure there is. Be an example. If you love the Lord tonight, be an example of a believer in your words, in your conduct. And again, it's not indifferent to that. It's proactive to it. Now you say, instead of, oh no, I have to, you say, I get to. Lord, I want to present myself. Help me to know how to present myself in this world to be the ultimate witness for you. Help me, Lord, that I neither go too far or too little. Lord, help me the way I dress, that it is holy, modest, pure. And yet, it doesn't go so far that it's out of the character that it should be. A man's a man and a woman's a woman. We're to always stay in that character, but in decency and purity, see. The world tries to cross all those lines, the difference between a man and a woman, and then all the decency and propriety. We're to hold it all because we have something that we believe in. And that's what we're saying. And I'm going to tell you, many times people don't understand that, and it's looked at in a way. But I'm going to tell you, in the long run, when they get in trouble, they usually look for somebody that's got something different. So be an example of a believer. In word, in conversation, in charity. This is in the middle of this scripture, but I suppose as it comes out, it's probably the most important, because without love, you can do all of the rest of it. And there's a lot of ways of doing it. But this says in charity, always, always in remembering the greatest witness of who He is love, mercy, and forgiveness. No matter what all the rest of it is, the highest qualities is in charity. It's in charity, and to always strive for that. Lord, as you love me, I love the world too. Then it takes away those boundaries that we'll put up. Those walls that we'll put up. It puts up the, I won't go there attitude. The Lord went there for me. And Lord, I'm going to go there for you. Help me to be able to love as you love. To be able to reach out as you reached out. To not make barriers and walls to those that don't look like me and are caught up in sin. And Lord's helped me a lot with these things over the year, and I'm thankful for it. That I can look beyond the dirt sometimes and beyond the disgust. Without getting too much into the language, folks, we live in a different time. And it's getting worse all the time. And there is coming stronger and stronger in our life that we're going to have to deal more personally and more involved in the idea of the alternative lifestyles and those kind of things. I tell you tonight, God loves those souls. Sure, He hates the sin. But He's still a mighty God tonight. How are we going to face up to it in our time? By the love of God as a believer. It isn't to give in on it. But it is to be an example of a believer. Jesus died for those people. It is sin that's hurting them. And to look with mercy. Oh, how often I think we
miss the spiritual. We miss the truth. If, for instance, one of our saint sisters has a husband that's not saved, maybe comes and roughs her up a little bit and abuses her, and well, we'll have mercy on her and want things to be better. But I'm going to tell you, he's in trouble. Our pity ought to go out to that guy. Sure, in the situation, but so many times we exclude that as a bad person, and we put all of our prayers and energy on the one, and it's well, I'm you know what I'm saying, it's well that it be that way, but the heart of the Lord, you realize that if that man dies a persecuting one of the Lord's, the awful penalty that that man's going to have to face, it makes the idea of pity. Lord, have mercy on that man. In love, a believer in love. Do you know when that love is really there and those that are looking on would marvel to say, I never saw it that way. They love the one that's doing wrong. They'll get an image of the Lord they'll get nowhere else. He left us here to be examples. In love. In love for all. Loving one another was the highest witness that we're God's people. That all men may know that you are my disciples. Because you have love one to another. That it looks beyond the faults and failures. And loves anyway. It doesn't accept wrong things, but it loves. Lord, help us to be an example of a believer in love. In spirit. I like this. In spirit is the ability to control all that we do. The spirit controls. It controls our temperament, our passions under control. To be a witness in spirit is mild and a meek person. How often the cause suffers by the outreach being done in the wrong spirit, or the response to things done in the wrong spirit. But to be done in the spirit of Christ, be a believer, an example of a believer in spirit. That our spirit that's projected is what kind of a spirit? A hard to get along spirit? A talkative spirit? An aggressive spirit? What kind of a spirit? You've got to be an example of a believer in spirit. You know some people, you say, they got a good spirit. That's what we look for. We want to see a good spirit in them. That we'd have a good spirit. That the persons don't be intimidated by us. When we feel that, we make sure that we alter that. That we have a spirit. To be a believer in spirit. Lord, help me to be an example in my spirit. And I'm going to testify to you that my response, I had to correct when my wife clipped me with the buggy. I had to alter that because I want my spirit. My wife... I love my wife. She has a tendency to laugh over things sometimes that I don't think's funny. And if I slide and slip on the ice and it looks funny, she's going to laugh and I'm going to be saying, honey, that hurt. Well, I can't help it. It's funny. But there is a response on how we respond to one another. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Understand me? Well, I'm sorry that you're forgiven. How quickly can you get you're forgiven to your lips? How quickly can you get you're forgiven in your heart? Because the Lord wants us to be an example of a believer in spirit. That's no fraud. It's not fraudulent there. Some of this I'm saying about you can put it on, but there's a place there that the Lord wants it to be genuine and real. He wants it all to be genuine and real. In love, in spirit. that our projection of our lives, of ourselves, of our collective body, of God's collective body, is a people of a good spirit, of a meek and a gentle attitude, easy to forgive. In faith, Lord help us, that we're a believer in faith. And I find this a challenge. When you believe God is what He said He is, what don't He control? Now, we can sit in this kind of a setting and I'll get everybody's head going. He rides the storms. He's over the principalities and powers. He's over all sickness and diseases. We do that. But that's not what the Lord was saying when He said to be an example of a believer in faith. That means that faith projected from my life to the world is He's God on His throne. And now it's projected. I like projecting my faith. I was at home while I've told this story many times, but it was a blessing to me to get to do it. There came a flood up. I live by the creek, by the river there at home. It's called Deer Creek. And we lived there, and the flood came up and it started eroding the bank away, getting closer and closer to my house. When we bought that house originally, my heart's desire was that it'd be a place that I could keep the saints. The Lord knows that's the truth. I wanted something that I could be a blessing to God with. I know when we got that house, I gave it to the Lord. Lord, it's this along with everything else is yours. Well, there was a challenge coming. The river kept moving. It kept eroding away. There come a time that I could look out. At that time, it was a dining room. We remodeled, but it was a dining room, Linda, and I could look out the window right down. 3 feet from the edge of the house was the river. It used to be 100 feet. But now, probably wasn't quite 100 feet, but it was out there a ways. And it was now 3 feet to the top of the bank and 2.5 feet to the undercut. And here's the river washing away. And I was standing out on the bridge in front of the house, and the neighbors came by, and one of them said to me, said, "Marty, what are you going to do?" And I just laughed. And I said, "Well, now what would you do?" Well, that kind of got him to puzzling. What would you do? And I told him, I said, "If it's the Lord's." If that house goes down the Green Bar River, it's the Lord's. And I said, "But if I know the Lord, He's going to stop that just short of the house. And then the state's going to come back in and build it back better than it's ever been before." And just before it got to the house, it stopped. And the water went down. And then the state come in and said, "Oh, our bridge... the integrity of our bridge on this side is in question, and we need to build this back." And they built it back real pretty and hydro-seeded it, and it was better than it ever was before. And I love to do that because I was able to project what I believe to the heart of somebody else. I wanted them to know they were believers, that they were people that believed. But I was glad to be able to project my faith that I believe God is in control. And I'm willing that God do what God will do. I've committed it because God's way is best. Heart sees not struggling to see and know and understand. God's way is best, folks. We fail many times in the projecting of our faith as believers. To believe, to tell the world. When the world says, and they see us in an upheaval and unsteady and wondering and running to and fro. Ain't much challenge there. But when we stand there. Oh, I think of Apostle Paul. Where was he? How did he project his faith? When it come down to the end, and he said, "My head's going to be taken off. That's right. Tomorrow I'm off out of here. My head's coming. That's right." But what did he say? What is that 2 Timothy 4th chapter? He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished the course.
I've kept the faith. He projected his faith. It don't matter now, folks. God's on his throne. And I'm his servant. And it don't matter anymore. I'm going to tell you, that was challenging to those that was listening. It was been a challenge to those that read it. Because he projected his faith of God. An eternal God. An all-powerful God. An all-wise God. A God that's everywhere. We projected that God. But yet, if we're not careful, we get under our burdens, under our trials, and we project less than victory to those that are around. And I know it's a challenge. But Lord, help us to be an example of a believer in faith. That when the Lord comes and calls, and I'm not trying to be bigger than I am, folks, but when the Lord comes and calls my number, I want to be one of them that raises my hand and says, "Come, Lord Jesus." I remember my grandmother saying when she come down to her last, it was such a challenge to me. She said, "Marty, I'm tired and I want to go home." Oh, that projected faith to me. She believed there was a home. She didn't kick against her death. She embraced it and said, "I'm going home and I'm tired here and I want to go and be with Jesus." And she embraced that and her faith came out of that. And I want to be one that uses the last moments of my life to project the faith in God. See? As a believer, because I love Him and I want other people to know that He's true and He's right and you can die in faith. And I want to tell you something, it's better over there than it is here. Yes, it is. It's better over there than it is here. I don't know it because I've seen it, I know it by faith. I believe it. The Lord said it and I believe it's true. Be an example of a believer in faith. I know there's natural things. I don't play with snakes. I used to when I was young. I don't play with rattlesnakes. I don't play with things that can harm me. But I don't want it to be a faith matter. Because in faith, I want to project that. I know there's a carefulness in the call. I don't go out and drive 120 miles an hour. I don't tempt God in those things. But I projected my faith. And God's been true. The last van we had, when we got a relatively new van, I went before the Lord. "Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do here? Insurance is more if I pay. And I know the Lord can pay that too. But I thought, Lord, this is your van. You gave it to me. And it's yours for the use of the gospel. And I committed it into the Lord. Paid only what I had to. I did not put full coverage on it. And I'm going to tell you, oh, how God worked. Oh, well, I'm going to tell you, the Lord honored that over and over again, right at the moment that something should have happened, it didn't. Over and over again, the car that almost hit us didn't hit us. The time I almost hit them, I didn't. The time the deer runs out and there's no way, I actually was going along and the deer runs out. And all of a sudden, Lord help us. 75 miles an hour, cruising along, middle of the night, family's all asleep. Here comes a deer and as I went by, that deer's feet went right by my window. He was upside down. That deer come, it was like the Lord spun him. And he was running, and I saw it right here. And it never even clicked the mirror on that van. And it come to my, when that happened, I said, "Thank the Lord." And the Lord said, "You give me the van." My faith. Projected. He's real tonight. Anybody can do it, chief. Anybody can just go to Sunday service and not give anything. The Lord wants us to be an example in our faith. Projecting our faith as a believer in Christ. Why do they do that? Because they're a believer. Why do they believe in something? The world thinks it's ridiculous, but we project our faith and God comes through. Oh, we say sometimes we must be healed. No, we must have faith. Because faith will say, "Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, I don't know the time of my departing, but you know it. Help me to project it and accept it and project it to the world that my God is right." I'm glad to go on. The old Apostle Paul, projecting his faith, said, "I'm in a rock between two. I'm in a hard place here because I have a desire to go on." What are you talking about? You wanting to die? I want to see Jesus. Projecting that to the world, it's better. He's real. He's alive. There's a place prepared for me over there.
to project it to the world. Oh, when the world sees less, it's diminishing to the cause of Christ. Help us, Lord, to be an example of a believer in faith, in purity, in purity. Lord, help us tonight that there is no secret room. There is no skeleton in the closet. That the dust is not being swept under the rug. That what our lives is open completely. I can't see into it without some discernment from God for you. But it's God's love and mercy to uncover it for you. An example of a believer can try to do all these things, but the final one was in purity. Timothy, keep yourself upright. Keep yourself honorable. Because in all of it, you'll lose your candle. If you don't keep your purity, you're going to lose your candle. You're going to lose your witness. And there's a reason here. I want you to think about this. What great harm is done when this is uncovered? Timothy, there'll be more harm done by that than all your life's efforts.
That's right.
Don't let it happen to you. Keep yourself pure. Folks, if you got to confess, just confess. If you got to confess your faults, confess your faults. If you got to say, I need help, say, I need help. I want to love the Lord more than just pizza. I want to love the Lord more than just the way I like to go fishing. I like to fish. But I don't like to be out there when it's cold. I don't like to be fishing when it's raining. And I definitely don't like to be fishing when they're not biting. I love to fish. Not that much. I want to love the Lord beyond those kind of things. I want to love the Lord and be an example for Him as a believer in what I say, the way I act, in my love towards others, in my spirit that is who I really am inside, that projects who I am, whether I'm by myself or I'm in a crowd at Monarch or at a crowd in Guthrie. But by the spirit that's in me that's been created in there of the Lord, a meek and a quiet and a humble spirit. In my spirit. And in the faith that I have in God, may it be projected out. Of what we believe as a people, may it be projected out. May we hold to the truth in our faith. And Lord, help us all that we'd be pure. We're in a time of people talking of a lot of scandals. Lord, help us to be open. I believe that the gospel is to be shouted from the rooftop. I don't believe truths are to be hidden. I think evil things hide and lurk in darkness. But everything that we believe and is right, we can stand on it and proclaim it from the rooftop. I don't have to be ashamed to tell you that I trust in the Lord. I don't have to be ashamed to tell you that I believe that a marriage is a man and a woman. I don't have to be ashamed to tell you that you ought to live right. I don't have to be ashamed to tell you that you ought to cover yourself. I don't have to be ashamed of it. Because it's right. And when there's shame, Lord, help us to remove it and fill it with God's boldness for our lives. To be examples. Lord needs, here in 2013, He needs to raise up an army of young people, old people, but people. The young people know they got it coming. They've got the most life ahead of them. And the Lord needs an army of people that can stand up and sing the songs and have it right in their heart. To project our faith through our songs and our love through our songs and all these things. An army of people that still dress like saints, act like saints, and testify of saints. And it all hinges on how much we love the Lord. Because it is not now. It's like I tell our children. They'll say, do we have to go to church? No. We get to. Because it's the privilege of our lives. It's the love of our life. It's what we want to do. We chose to do it. It's what we get to do. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.